All right, so again, we're at this point where David is, he's not technically the king of Israel yet. He's been anointed. He's been anointed, but he is not taken over yet because Saul is still alive. So he's defeated Goliath. Jonathan recognizes it. Jonathan's like, hey, you know, this is what's going to happen here. I know you're going to be the next guy. And that's coming down the road. And so Saul has this, he knows what's going on. And so he's like, hey, let's give him this wife and Merib. And David says, no. So it says now in verse 20, and remember last week we talked about this, how everybody likes David but Saul. I mean, Jonathan loved him. It doesn't really say that Merib loved him, but Michal loves him. All of Saul's servants loved him. Everybody loved David but Saul. Saul was jealous. And so tonight, really, we're going to just keep comparing David and Saul. I know we've, in a sense, already looked at that a lot, and you could say we beat that to death, but it's still speaking to us in the Scriptures, and it's so, the Scriptures actually just preach itself tonight, which they always do, but it's very easy tonight. So it says, now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. When they told Saul, this thing was agreeable to him. Well, you know, he's not thinking about his daughter. He's like, oh yeah, she does like him, so this will be good for me. Saul thought, I will give her to him so that she may become a snare to him. Is that the word up there, fish? Yes, snare. All right, I'm making sure I'm in the same thing here again. And so you can underline that. And we'll come back to that, the word snare. And that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Therefore Saul said to David, for a second time, you may be my son-in-law today. Then Saul commanded his servant, speak to David secretly, that's the next word I've underlined, saying, behold, the king delights in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore become the king's son-in-law. So Saul's servant spoke these words to David. But David said, is it trivial in your sight to become the king's son-in-law, since I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? The servants of Saul reported to him according to the words which David spoke. Saul then said, thus you shall go say to David. Now, we're going to come back to that word also as well. You say to David, you shall say to David, the king does not desire any dowry except 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies. Now Saul planned, and I've underlined that word as well, Saul planned to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. When his servants told David these words, it pleased David to become the king's son-in-law before the days had expired. David rose up and went, he and his men, and struck down 200 men among the Philistines. Then David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full number to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. And Saul's probably like, dang, it's backfired. So Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, for his wife. When Saul saw and knew the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, then Saul was even more afraid of David. And I underline that word afraid there. Thus Saul was David's enemy continually. Then the commanders of the Philistines went out to battle, as it happened as often as they went out, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so his name was highly esteemed. So there's two main people in this little section here. There's more than that. Obviously, there's Michal, and there's other people, but it's mainly David, and Saul that we're talking about, and they couldn't be, again, further apart in everything at this point. Now we're going to see David is going to mess up. He's going to sin greatly with Bathsheba. But again, as we talk about this pretty regularly, it's not the sin, that one sin. Now he paid for it for a long time, but it is the whole of it. It is his heart, that the Bible says that David's a man after God's own heart. Saul is not. Saul not only was disobedient to God, he continues to be disobedient. There is this spirit that's tormenting him, and it's making him do these malicious, evil things. He's trying to not only trick David, but he's trying to kill him. And so when we look at David, there's a couple of things that kind of jump out at us here. And so Saul is wanting David to marry his daughters. Well, he's trying to trick him, but you know, he really is wanting him to marry him. but he's wanting it to do it to trap him and to plot his demise. It says, but David says in verse 23, is it trivial in your sight to become the king's son-in-law, since I'm a poor man and lightly esteemed? So here's David coming with this humility, and Saul says, hey, we want you to be our son-in-law. Go tell David we want him to be my son-in-law. And David goes, I don't really think I'm worthy to be a son-in-law. Now, I don't know about you. The Bible teaches this. You know, Jesus said, when you go to a wedding or go to a feast and seat yourself at the lowest. I've been places where I feel really out of place before, and as in, like, I don't fit in, like I'm not up to standard. The older I get, the less I feel like that. This is Wednesday night, so I can use names and say whatever I want, I guess. But I think most people in here remember Mr. Hugh. I kind of aspire to be like Mr. Hugh in that regard. He didn't care who you were. I can remember Dad and myself, and I don't know if anybody else. We went to meet Richard Shelby one day at Hartsel, and Senator Shelby, who's been a senator for 50 years probably. You know, most people are like, you know, raising their hand, afraid to approach him. Mr. Hugh just bust in with his work boots on, and he just lit into him, to be honest. He goes, I got something to tell you about. And I'm like, whoa, he doesn't care who this guy is. And he told him, he goes, I don't care if you're the president of the United States, I'll tell you you're wrong on this. And he lit into him pretty good. And I thought, you know, I kind of wish I was like that. And he told me, when I was kidding about it, I was like, Mr. Hugh, you didn't mince any words with him. He said, he ain't no better than I am, just because he lives up there. He said, he's just the same as I am. He's skinned. So I thought, well, that's a good way of looking at that. And it really is. But we put these people on pedestals, and we're afraid. But now David's is a little bit different than that. David's is true humility. David says, I don't know. You know, I don't come from much. I don't think, you know, that I'm the person that you want. I'm a poor man. I'm lightly esteemed. But Saul says, oh, that's okay. That's okay. We're still good with it. And so then they go approach him, and they tell David, hey, all we need is this dowry. So it says, you know, when his servants told David that, it pleased David to become the king's son-in-law. Now, at this point, again, David is, marriages were different back then. You know that than they are today, at least in the Western world. There's still arranged marriages in parts of the world today. But David, you know, you don't say they didn't marry for love, but a lot of the marriages were definitely arranged, and the male nor female really got a vote in anything, and they didn't marry for looks or anything like that. So it's not that David's just in love with her, but David wants to please the king. And so it says that those words pleased him. And so David rose up, and he did. He and his men, they struck down 200 men among the Philistines. Now, this is not some easy task. I don't want you to get the picture that, hey, it's like going out and plucking corn out of the field. I mean, they went and killed people, and in order to meet, you know, the standard or the dowry that Saul sets there. So they give them to the king. And so David does exactly what Saul asked of him. So we see David here. He's humble. He's honorable. He has integrity. He's doing exactly what's right. He has the presence of God about him, as it says there. When Saul saw and knew the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, then Saul was even more afraid of him. Well, this is the last thing I really want to say about David tonight, is this. How do we keep that? How do we know the Lord is with us? How do we keep, or how does somebody look at us and go, the Lord's with him, or the Lord is with her? That is by continually spending time in the Word of God, by continually praying, by asking God to have his presence in our life and to anoint us, not so we can do great things, but just so that we can be obedient. You all know people in your life, and you say, I can just sense the Lord's presence in his life or her life. I can see an anointing on his life. And Saul was able to see that, and that's because David, again, we go back to this, David's heart was devoted to serving his heavenly Father. But then we have Saul. We have the contrast. Now, I don't want us to think that or at least I don't want you to think that I'm saying, oh, we're Saul in this story, we're like Saul. I'm just saying we have to be careful to guard against being like Saul is in this story. So let's look at some of the things that we underline here. It says, Saul thought, I will give her to him so that she may be a snare to him. Now that's the first word I underlined in this when I was reading it. And here's what I want us to get to kind of look at with Saul. Saul's at the point where he understands that God's hand is really moving in a different direction. He understands there is the presence of God on David's life, but Saul is fighting against it because it's not his will. So we've all probably been there at times where, you know, for whatever, in church or at the ball field or at, you know, at work or in your personal life, whatever it may be, we know that it's not necessarily God's will for something to be done, or we may not know that, but what we do is we try to circumnavigate, or we try to manipulate, we try to take things into our own hands to get the situation to turn out the way we want it. Now, we all have to guard against that, and that's pastors, teachers, engineers, coaches, whatever you may do for a living, we all have to guard against this, because there are ways you say, well, I could get my way on this, I could manipulate and do this, but that's not the way God wants us to work. It says, so Saul is setting a snare. He is wanting his daughter to become a snare to him. Saul's wanting her to get in there so that she can do his bidding, so that she can bring David down. That's the way people act when they're trying to make us fall. They set us up, or they do things. They know maybe our weaknesses, and you know, they may say something to us knowing that we're going to respond, or they may send some, you know, gossip out and hoping that we'll bite on it, things like that. He's setting a snare. You notice he didn't pray. He didn't go, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? He's setting a snare. And then it says in verse 22, then Saul commanded his servants, you go speak to David secretly. You go do this behind the scenes. That's the way people operate when they're trying to get something done that's not Christ-like. Just to be honest, and the Bible says that, you know, the things that happen in the dark will come out in the light. We know all of that. Now, I know that there is a fine line we have to walk. And some people will say this, well, there's nothing I won't say to your face. You know, I won't say anything behind your back that I won't say to your face. And that's good to a certain extent. But sometimes we just don't need to say it at all. We need to put it back in the holster, so to speak. You know, and just because you think it doesn't mean you should say it, doesn't mean you should tell somebody secretly. You know, if you have a problem with somebody, then you do want to tell them to their face. But if you're just being malicious for the sake of being malicious and tearing down, then just don't tell anybody. But when people start moving around secretly, when they start, you know, plotting, I can't imagine, as you read the Old Testament, I can't imagine being a king. All these people are like getting killed and they're getting behind their back and all this stuff, and I don't know, we don't watch a lot of TV, to be honest, but if we watch any of those old shows, like not old as in, but the old settings, like go all the way back to biblical or Roman times, or you know, the early or middle ages, things like that, and you're constantly seeing these people like poisoning and jockeying for position, even some of the early popes. And it's always people moving around and doing things. Now, here's the problem with that. Here's the problem with this secretive life, this speaking, you know, behind the scenes and getting things to move, is that you got to remember every step, all right? You have to remember everything you do. And we were talking, actually, it's funny, right before the service, I'll try not to call any more names out loud since we're all being recorded, but we're talking about just being open and transparent. Like, it's so much more liberating because you're like, hey, here's what I've been through, this is what I struggle with, this is how I live now, and you don't have to really hide it. You're just like, hey, that's who I am. And so Saul, he's commanded his servants, he's trying to set this trap, this snare is the word they use, and he says, hey, go talk to David secretly. In other words, hey, you go talk him into it. You've all got that friend that's been like, hey, you call for me. Will you go do this? Because I don't like calling them. Or go do this because I don't want to do that. That's kind of what they're doing here. They're like, hey, you go talk to him. He'll do it if you ask him to. So they went and they spoke to him. It says, so then Saul said to them, hey, go say this to him in verse 23. Thus you shall say to David. So not only is he telling him to go meet secretly, he's telling him what to say. So he's trying to manipulate the whole situation. He's setting up this trap, snare. He's doing it secretly. I thought the text was going to alliterate itself, but we move on to another one in a minute. But the third S in a row is that thus you shall say to David, the king does not desire any dowry. So he says, all right, you go to David and you tell him in a secret, hey, the king doesn't want all this. Tell him all this. Well, you say, well, I don't see the problem with this. Saul is trying to manipulate the situation. He knows God's hand is on David. And yet he's trying to get around it. And so what does he do? It says Saul planned to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So he's like, hey, all you need is 200 foreskins and then you can be the son-in-law of the king. And he's thinking David's going to be like, yeah, that's great. And then David's going to go get killed in battle. But God had different plans. So sometimes we plan that. We plan like, hey, let's just get him over here and let's get her to do this and let's get them to do that. And this is how it'll work. Now, I don't know if we have any, I'm telling too many stories, I know, but I'll be quick. Any Seinfeld fans in here, but you know, Kramer was the blunt one and Jerry was dating this woman that he thought her hair was bad and he wanted to get Kramer because if we get Kramer before, we know he'll say it. And so they get Kramer before and he's kind of sat back waiting on Kramer to tell her hair's awful. And Kramer goes, there's something about your hair. And Jerry's getting all excited. And he goes, I like it. I really like that hair. And Jerry's like, no, you're supposed to. So it backfired on him. And that's what's going to happen to Saul. So Saul's planning to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. He's like, hey, we'll get him out here. And he'll try to kill 200 people. He'll get 200 foreskins. And he'll die. And so David, they went and told David these words. And it pleased David. And David said, okay, we'll go do it. So they come back and they do it. And it says, then David brought their foreskins and they gave them in full number to the king that he might become the king's son-in-law. So Saul gave him Michal to his daughter-in-law. He gave him his daughter for a wife. Now, I'll be honest. I've read this a lot. But when the first few times I read it, you read it thinking Saul's going to pull the rug. There's no way he'll give him. He does. He gives the daughter over. I thought just knowing Saul's character and who he was that he would lie and up the ante, but he doesn't. It says, but here's the kicker. When Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, he kind of thought, oh, it's stacked against me now. Then Saul was even more afraid of David. But here's the problem, and this is where we're about to end. All right, so Saul's done all this stuff. He's manipulated like crazy, set a snare. He's been secretive. He's telling him what to say. He's planning a trap. He's trying to get him killed. He's doing all this stuff. So let's put that into our lives right now. Let's say you're trying to really manipulate a situation. You're wanting your daughter to marry somebody she didn't want to marry, or you know, whatever it may be. You just, whatever the situation you're in, you're trying to control things, and you're getting the hint that it's not God's plan, it's not what God has in store, but you are still trying to manipulate and control the situation. And when it finally hits you, it says, Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. What did he do? You would think he'd be like, oh, okay. I know based on ministry, and not talking about Danville Baptist, but I've talked to a lot of people, and I know one of Dad's philosophies is, it kind of goes back to the book of Acts and says, if it's of the Lord, you know, there's nothing we can do about it, and if it's not, it'll fizzle out. So just don't worry about stuff, you know? And so that's kind of what Saul should have been thinking here. He should have been saying, if God really is anointing him and he's going to be king, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. But if he isn't, then, you know. But this is what Saul did. Thus Saul was David's enemy continually. So instead of realizing and going, hey, you know, God is with this guy, there's nothing I can do about it, he keeps fighting against God. Now, one of the interesting things in the Bible that people want to talk about is, were so-and-so saved? You know, people have asked that. Was Samson saved? You know, Samson committed suicide. We as Baptists don't believe that's, you know, the unpardonable sin. People say, was, you know, there are other people, but Saul's one of those. Lot's one of those. People want to question, was Lot really saved? You know, was he really a believer? Saul's one of those people that they want to ask about. And, you know, we don't know. We don't know people's hearts, obviously. But you would think that a believer at this point, if it hits you in the face like that, and when we do, when our sin hits us, this is the way we should go, is like, you know, I've been wrong. I've been doing this wrong with my children. I've been acting wrong with my wife. I've been doing this wrong at work. I've had a bad attitude about church. I've been trying to manipulate and do this and do that. And I just realized that it's God's will, you know, for this to happen. And it's not going to happen the way I want it. But I might as well realize it and just say, you know, this is the Lord's will. That's not what Saul does. He keeps going. He keeps being David's enemy. He keeps trying to manipulate the situation. He keeps trying to kill him. And we're going to see in the next few chapters that it's not going to work, because it was not in the cards, so to speak. It was not in God's will, not in God's plans. So here's where we end. I don't know where you're at. You know, you may be going through something in your own life. Maybe it's just, as we like to say, maybe it's just a small sin. There's no such thing. It's all sin in God's eyes. Any sin is an affront to a holy God. But maybe you're struggling with pride. Maybe it's arrogance. Maybe it's covetousness. Maybe it's lust. Maybe, I don't know what you've been struggling with, but maybe it's just the fact that you haven't been doing things, what would please our Heavenly Father, Jesus. Maybe you're not spending time in the Word. Maybe you're not praying. Maybe you're not loving on people. Maybe you're not ministering. Maybe you got a bad attitude about life in general. And you just keep trying to do it your way. You just keep trying to handle things and control them and manipulate them and do everything your way and set your own plans. And it's just not worked out. Well, we can go one of two ways, really. We can keep trying that, like Saul did, keep trying our plans, or we can repent. And that's where I finally have come full circle on the Saul part. You know, there are interesting people in the Bible, like Saul and like Judas. You know, up until the last minute, the thief on the cross was going to spend an eternity in hell, but he repented. And that's Jesus to remember him in paradise. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Saul could have easily repented right here and said, God, look, I'm wrong. I was wrong. You've taken my kingdom. That's fine, because I don't care about my kingdom. All I care about is living with you in all of eternity. But he didn't do that. And so that's our choice. Now, that's not to say that we're not believers. But if we're living in rebellion like Saul was, we're not going to have peace as children of God. So if that's you tonight, then my prayer, my hope is that you just get it right tonight with our Heavenly Father. And as always, I'll be glad to stick around and talk to anyone. Let me pray for us. Father, we do love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your word. We know the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Thank you for that. Thank you that it's alive and well. Help us not to control situations, not to manipulate, not to live in sin. And help us instead to turn to you, Lord Jesus. Saul had a chance, and we have chances. And help us to do that. Help us to, especially once we see something is not in your will, help us to not keep going. Help us to just be obedient to you, Father, and what you want in our lives. And help us to be salt and light. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.